Welcome back to the Clean Sailors Podcast. Let's talk about sea, marine, sailing, and keeping it clean. I'm your host, Holly, founder of Clean Sailors, and a sailor myself with a passion for the health of our mighty oceans. Through conversations with experts, innovators, and activists, all working towards improving the health of our seas, we're showcasing the people and projects changing the way things are done. 97% of all sails end up in landfill. Sails are strong and durable, made to withstand the Earth's toughest environments. UV light, salt water, wind. Made from complex synthetic materials, sails aren't formally recyclable anywhere in the world, and the majority end up in landfill or incineration. Now we know that old sails can be upcycled into new things, furnishings, bags, and now even fashion garments. But what about the more humanitarian side of things, for example? How can sails be used beyond the everyday? And what are the biggest blockers preventing us from making them more widespread and with this in mind? I'm joined today by Angela Abashir, founder of Sail to Shelter and hailing from California. Hello, Angela. Nice to see you again. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm so happy to have time with you.
I am so glad that we finally got to do this because we've had so many conversations where we've ruminated and inspired each other and got frustrated. And it was an insane opportunity to connect in the very first place. But it was so very important now that we share what we've been talking about and thinking about with a much wider audience, because I think it's interesting. And every time I come away from our conversations, I feel incredibly inspired. So thank you for indulging me by having this as a podcast episode.
I'm thrilled to be here. I can't wait for this conversation. Let's have it.
So Angela, tell us a little bit about your background and how you even came about being as interested and as expert as you are in sails.
I was so fortunate living in Southern California to have friends who were racing in Long Beach to Catalina, and there was room on a boat, and I've never done anything like that in my life. And I got on a Far 40, and that was it. It changed everything for me. It changed from the minute I got on the boat, every single part of it, every single thing about it, and the sails. So I come from the garment industry. I'm a textile junkie. And then when I started to ask about, like, what are we doing with the sails? What happens? Where do these go? And then it was just this blank. And then I just thought, well, there's sail bags. Lots of people are making great bags. But to me, it was the size of them. I started sailing on a big boat. I mean, I went straight from looking at sails or occasionally sailing to being under, right, these massive sails. So it was just look, right? There was no like, oh, we're going to take this little thing and we'll work up to it. And then you sort of don't think of it because it's just a piece of an equipment and it's part of what you use as your tool. That's what happened to me. And obviously it's taken over.
Sold, sealed, delivered. It's really poignant and incredibly pertinent that you say that in terms of it being a tool. I think we think about that in every day life. And certainly, you know, a lot of sports and pleasures and pastimes have, you know, whether it's a vehicle as such as a boat or a car, is a composition of a variety of different tools in a way doing different jobs. And they come together to create that finite thing, which can be used and enjoyed and raced as you've experienced. But we're not actually necessarily thinking about those as individual composite pieces at the end of it and how they can be sort of pulled apart again and reused or otherwise. And you mentioned something which I think is really, really cool, because I know that we've made a lot of bags. There's some fantastic things and really cool, fashionable, aesthetically useful, good-looking furniture, furnishing pieces going around. And yes, it's an opportunity for end of life in one respect, but it's not obviously the ultimate solution. But as part of your journey, you actually undertook that element too. You tried that out, right? Because I remember this fantastic collaboration that you had in New York, which was very much around bringing the material into the mainstream somehow, which was the fashion industry, right? This is a resource which can transcend a variety of industries, and you explored it with fashion as part of your journey so far. How did that come about?
So the fashion part of my journey is the natural part. That's what I come from. So naturally, I want to use all these things in that space. That particular collaboration was with a really great sustainable fashion department store in New York City. The hardest part about that for me was having things made in this country. And part of what I think is the incredible opportunity with the sail material is the value that it has to create jobs, which teach skills. If you go onto any of the sail manufacturers' websites and look under career opportunities, just count how many sail makers they need. They're not all using a sewing machine anymore because of the technology, but I think that what a cool opportunity to be able to, in all the cities that are overrun with all the sale material, why are we not putting kids who live on the street or people who have disabilities into an education program so that they can learn to sew and then they can make the bags? It's literally an ecosystem waiting for some infrastructure. That's all it is. Every material has a different perfect use for it. So it seems like a heavy lift, but if there is a desire for the infrastructure to make sure that we keep stuff out of landfill, then it really isn't that hard to do.
You mentioned something there, which we've got to tease apart, and that's the different materials for different things. So appreciate, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, resale as a platform, for example, is set up very much about connecting sailors and their old sails, full stop, with projects that need them. And actually what we're not perhaps articulating clearly enough is the difference between a canvas sail and a Dacron sail and a spinnaker, all of which have unique properties and therefore be used for different things, different malleability, different textures, different weights. How could you see in a perfect world us looking at sails, not as this big bucket, but rather as a collective for such a variety of useful textiles effectively?
I think that we can create at the point of sale a system where the sails are returned and where we don't burden the manufacturer in their little loft with waste. So we need waste bins and an organization like ours that will be responsible for collecting them. And then we need a simple facility, right? We deconstruct them, take out all the hardware and all the rigging. Some of that rigging can be used for other things. Over at Sea Bags, very happy to just make sure they get all the Dacron sails they need. We can take out so much of the pain point of that by creating a system underneath our incredible industry to take responsibility for all the waste that we're putting in it. I've also proposed that we do a subscription model with, let's say, a J70 class, right? The J70 rips through a Dacron sail. If you're with an active fleet, we all know how many sails you're going through. It is an attitudinal and behavioral change where if we create systems that will incentivize that the sails come back to us, then everybody's happy. You get a snappy white sail that you're super proud of on the start line. We all know how that feels. We get to move these on to their next use. Nobody's going to stop making them. Nobody's going to stop racing. So let's create a system so that everybody wins. That's Dacron. And I think that's an easy Dacron thing. Laminates, it depends on the sale. I mean, 3DI technology has changed the game on that. We got a lot of laminate sales we got to work through. And different sales are in different parts of the world. You know what I mean? They're not racing a bunch of J70s in some parts of the world. I've got one of the largest single mast sales in the world. They're all different. So it takes a sophisticated system to understand all the materials. And then we got people walking on the moon. I mean, don't tell me that we can't figure out what to do with waste. I don't know if you saw it on Instagram the other day, but I watched this truck drive in front of my house last week and rip up in a 5-foot-long, 2-inch-wide. They just ripped up the concrete, threw it into a truck that was traveling in front of them, and then came with another one and laid down a new road. And people tell me we can't deconstruct a sail.
I hear you. You hit the nail on the head with one word, and that was incentivized. And I guess there's a combination. The sweet spot is between almost incentivizing and legislating and providing such an opportunity. And you mentioned something there which was fascinating in its skills. And whether it's on any political agenda, skills and employment is always top, top priority. So how is this an opportunity to be creating something new? The interesting thing, it doesn't actually have to be within the marine industry. And I think that's what's so exciting about it, is that perhaps broadening our perspective away from, okay, my industry creates waste, therefore I need to find a reuse for it. Fair enough, there still needs to be manufacturer responsibility, right? We should be creating things that can be either broken down without creating more waste, can be reused again, ultimately limiting landfill and incineration, right? Total goals. But it doesn't necessarily mean that my industry has to be with the one that reuses it. And with your approach, obviously looking at it as a textile, there are an infinite number of industries that could make the most of it as a material and as a resource.
I'm using it as a construction material. We're probably at about 60,000 square feet of shade at the Humane Society on Maui. So we're going to start construction, and we're using local bamboo. So we're using local materials and sails that are retired super yacht sails that lived in Lahaina. So we're using it at scale, and it's going to last for a really, really, really long time.
You've mentioned, obviously, not it just as a material in a textiles, but that you're using it for construction. And this is fundamentally what's so, I think, special about your approach to this is that the name of your business effectively is Sail to Shelter. How did that come about?
Well, the shelter part was really inspired during the pandemic. When the pandemic hit and we were all sort of, it was this shelter in place. We were hearing words we had never heard. We were experiencing fear we had never felt before. And I happened to know that there were warehouses full of superyacht sales all over the place in LA. And I was thinking, well, I mean, I'm kind of looking around at my industry, like, are we not all just going to like go help? Like, because we can't. No. But I started calling architects and engineers and trying to find real solutions. And I found an architect who sailed a TP-52 and he got it. And that was 4 years ago. And they've taught me a lot about the construction industry and how responsible the construction industry has to be. I mean, we have a very unique material in our hands that does not go through any sort of testing, doesn't have to, doesn't have any of the same restrictions. And I appreciate that it's been that way for so long. And I appreciate that we haven't had the same requirements for standards. And I'm not asking people to change the way they're doing business, but with a little bit more transparency and a little bit loosening, we can do a whole lot of good with this stuff, because the work that we've done and the people that we've inspired to work with us. And the thing that's so cool about a sail is that we love sailing, right? We love the whole big picture. But when you give someone who's never seen it before, who has the mind of an engineer or an architect, a piece of 3DI material that's 10 by 10, they go mad. I'm just telling you, I don't know if you ever do, one of my favorite things to do at a dinner party is everybody get up and change seats. The point is, your perspective is different. You are going to have a different experience when you come to it from a different place. So come to it from a different place and go, oh my gosh, what could I do? And then you go, well, but the microplastics and the this and the that. And you're like, okay, I can solve all that, because what I'm going to get at the end of the day is something I could not ever get anywhere else. Nobody else is going to go make material with Kevlar in it. I mean, why would we? We don't have to.
Again, it's the way of thinking, isn't it? What you pointed at, and actually so many of the conversations that I've had, the key thing that comes out is the way of thinking. It's like design out waste. And yours is sort of get up and just change seats, look at it from a different perspective entirely. And actually, we may not be able to. So the marine industry may not be able to look at it.
They're not going to design out waste. I believe in the second use economy more than anything else. It happens to be in the marine industry where I'm standing. So let's not even think about it like that, right? Let's think about it as we make so much stuff. We, human beings all over the world. And it's okay when there's only a few human beings. Go ahead and make your stuff. But then we fell in love with plastic, and then we kept having babies, and now we have an incredible population and plastic all over the place. And I don't know what to say, but it's all gone crazy. And all I'm saying is that, yes, design out waste. But I've taken the circular economy courses. That is hard. That is a science that's going to take years and years and years. And I love all the conversations going on about it. Please. In the meantime, we have a mountain of things that we don't take responsibility for. And ours is the coolest one. But I do feel like we're getting there. I think by the end of this year, I'm going to have some massively impressive installations standing up that will tell the story. And the story is a really big, massive, beautiful story. And then we have this incredible technology where we can tell these stories about sailing. So is it about sailing? It's really not. It's really about being responsible humans and helping people who need help. So Sail to Shelter was about, let's go create shelters to help people social distance during the pandemic. And the more we learned, and the more I got told no, and the more obstacles that came in the way, and the more problems we solved, right? That's what I do. Is I just keep getting the problem out of the way to make way for this opportunity for us to really do something special. And it isn't going to happen for the pandemic, but there's a crisis every day. And I get called every single day for help. World Central Kitchen calls me every time they go someplace new. Do you have any sales there? Is there anything we can do there? So the way it works is that I can use an infrastructure that's in place with a global inventory of material. And when World Central Kitchen calls me and says, I need something in Spain, I have partners and relationships and material that I can get there, usually sooner, cheaper, and it doesn't go to waste. And people whose lives have just been completely upended, we get to help them. So that's Sail to Shelter.
It's incredible. I mean, Angela, what you're about and also what you're achieving is incredible. And I appreciate that. I'm sure you feel it at times, the frustration of the pace in which we're collectively thinking about this. But just on Maui in particular, because I appreciate, you know, sails can be a grand construction material. And you said sort of the partitioning and otherwise for sort of COVID distancing. But with Maui, it's really important that we chat about this because this was the deadliest US wildfire in over a century, which devastated this little Hawaiian island in 2023 now. Killed, I think, 102 people, and there are 27,000 people who needed aid, for example. I mean, this was a huge scale disaster on an island, which arguably any place shouldn't be able to have to deal with that or have the capacity to deal with it. But we're talking island states normally really don't have the capacity to deal with it, particularly in Polynesia and, say, the Caribbean. So what have you so far managed to achieve with Sail to Shelter in Maui specifically? Because I think this is a really important part of your story.
Maui is a complicated, very sad, and also very brilliant experience and place and pain. And it's probably not a great example. It's a great example of the chaos of humanitarian aid, of people in pain, of communities that lose everything. The Maui part that is exciting is that we have established relationships with local bamboo farmers, and we're using sail material and bamboo to create structures that will last for decades. When you go into help in a disaster area with what we do, I'm not trying to provide housing. I'm trying to provide wraparound services and big spaces. We can go and stand up big. We can also create refugee camps. Like, we know where natural disasters are going. We know where we can move people. I can go build a refugee camp. I've got 109 superyacht sails in Spain. They're ready to go. So there is this really beautiful thing that we can go clean out all these warehouses with this sail material and help people who have been involuntarily displaced. And that number around the world is exponentially growing because of climate, because of the wars that we're under. I mean, I've sent material into Ukraine. We have rigging that goes into Ukraine on a regular basis, I would say. There's a way for us inside this industry to use the things that give us so much joy for help. I'm fully committed to figuring that out and working with everyone around the world that can help. I mean, you and I, we're doing the same thing. This is why when I found you, I was like, okay, this is it. There is a global group of us who sees we have these incredible tools. And I also come from marketing, right? I come from insights in human behavior. And so it's like, what is the human behavior around this, right? And how do we just establish trust with that super yacht community so that it just is endemic to sailing, that your sail becomes something else? Holly, that's our goal. And everybody understands that it's this now and it's something else next. And it's your responsibility to get it someplace so that it gets to its next thing. I'll tell you another thing I've proposed to incentivize the behavior, a digital cut card. Everybody makes things differently and they have different QR systems and SKUs and the whole thing. I need to know how big it is. I need to know what material it's made of, what year it's made. The manufacturer helps me. I don't need to know all your secret adhesives and all your secret things that make it go faster, because I already know, because I've already done 2 years of research in a textile engineering lab. I already know what I can't use it for, and I already know it's contaminated beyond use. But it will help me to know the size and the material, because that way, I mean, now I'm opening these things out and doing all, I mean, obviously you could open it up and it could have a sale, or it could have condition is variable, but it would help to know what it is before I even have to unpack it. And I've asked them, can we do it like a microchip for an animal, right? I just want to insert it into the sale so that I can read it. You can read it. Anybody around the world can read it with a chip reader, and then we can know what to do with it. And it can be like, oh, it's Dacron, it goes to that collection place, or it's that, you see?
I think what's really fantastic is sort of that, I'm going to say seismic because it is, considering where society appears to be currently, all of us involved in that. That seismic shift around what we're using now is going to become something else. And yeah, that actually, in that has an innate responsibility for pretty much looking after something as long as we can, kind of goes against the...
Not always.
Well,
not always.
We may not be able to, but if we knew that something was going to have another life, whether it's a mobile phone or whether it's the glass that I've got in my hand,
yes,
we do operate very differently. If you think it's going to be trash, it's going to go into a landfill, I'll just buy a new one. I think it is a slightly different mentality to know, oh, hey, when I'm done with this phone, or when I fancy an upgrade, or whatever happens to it, it's going to be something else. So I will approach it with a slightly different mindset. I would like to think we would. But also the element of waste doesn't go anywhere. Once something is created, it doesn't disappear.
This is the part we just never talked about. We just didn't ever talk about it because it was ever a problem. But then that pile just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And you're right. And I love the idea that, like, because what if you have a J-70 and you don't ever race? If you're not in an active fleet, you don't want to be part of a subscription model. If you are, you want to pay $10,000 a year and get all the sales you want. And what that helps us do, Holly, is it helps us start to plan our inventory. So, because I'll know that for an active fleet out of Newport, Rhode Island, how many sales I'll get a year. And I'll know out of a J-70 class out of Italy, how many sales I'll get out of a year. And then Seabags will know how many bags they can make and sell, or whoever it is.
The thing I'm just that's so refreshing is just the transparency of conversation around this. It's not a, oh, hey, how many sales do you happen to go through a season? With a sort of coy response, side eyes, don't really want to say because they're obviously going to landfill currently. It's like, hey, we know that we're racing, so we're pushing these things that are fantastically designed to their absolute limit. They're going to blow. And the racing circuits are obviously the most fantastic opportunity and sport and spectatorship, but there is waste. There's no point us denying it. So it's rather like, hey, let's be transparent from the off, as you're suggesting, knowing how many you're aiming to use a year, then you know how many you've got potentially as a resource for the second life, lining up the sort of tertiary layer in the whole puzzle, which is those individuals, organizations, projects, businesses that can then rely on that resource being quite sustainable incoming. Because I think one of the biggest things that I found with resale, for example, is the ad hoc nature with which sales are donated. So obviously dealing with the every sailor, the layperson, let's say, I could go through a sale once in 10 years. Someone else might go through a spinnaker every season. And actually the reliability of that resource for any industry looking to rely on it is tricky. So what you're doing is
focusing on
those knowns that we know within those classes, those areas of the industries that have a very reliable, consistent use of sales, which can then become quite a useful and substantial resource with which to make other products. You said something which I wrote down because I wanted to challenge you on it. And you'd said, I'm not asking them to change their business. And my question is, why not? How can we achieve this without changing business? Because what happens is you've described various industries that have done this quite successfully. Construction, major one. The regulation, the legislation around it is really tight. Obviously a huge industry, billions and billions globally. Our homes, our workplaces, the infrastructure upon which we rely day to day. Appreciate sailing is a bit more niche. The marine industry is a bit more niche. But they had to change the way they did business. I think in order to do things differently, often we do need to change the way we do business. May not be an overhaul, but ought we not be saying, hey, like, but this is the reality. In order to get there, we do have to change some things. It could be as simple as putting a chip in, or like you said, being able to, at least all the sail lofts or producers of sails, taking back, even if not to use end of life sails. There has to be change, no?
No, there does. What I can't be is the person who keeps my knee on everybody's throat. But I mean, yeah, there has to be change. I am willing to create a reclaim system, right? I'm willing to work to create a global reclaim system. But I also know, because I've been working in the superyacht industry now for long enough, that these are relationships that take place years in advance. I need to be at a dock. They all know when it's coming. So a collection and retrieval and figure out sort of some of the major hub cities, and maybe we do some consolidation of some of those things. Yeah, I do think that they need to do a cut card for me. And I'm going to put pressure on that because it's too much work and it doesn't need to be that much work. Why can't we make this one thing easier? I'm not asking for your secrets. I'm not asking for your formulas. We're not trying to reverse engineer. But yeah, they should do that to make that easier. And I'm in conversations with one of the manufacturers to do that. And I have a great relationship with a few of the lofts in Southern California who work with me on collections. We do some of those things. It's taken me a long time, and I appreciate the time it's taken me because it's just I've had to establish trust, and I hope I have.
It sounds like you're achieving incredible things. I know that you are, and I very much appreciate the journey that you've been on, because I think when you're pioneering something and encouraging others who are long established in their ways to do the same, you know, it's no small feat. It's colossal. It is Sisyphus pushing his rock up the hill. But it's also, I think, an incredibly important time because you can feel the change starting to happen. You can see the change starting to happen. And honestly, if something has never been an issue before, why would the industry have thought about it any differently? So I think it does take, to your very first point on this area of the topic, is get up and change seats. So it's taking people from outside of the industry to look at it very differently and say, hey, crikey, that's really cool. I could effectively have a completely free, natural resource, in inverted commas, to create my product, business, whatever. I mean, what industry can do that? What producer can get all of the raw materials for free? Which ultimately is something that at the moment exists because no one knows what to do with end-of-life sales.
Okay, well, that's a whole nother hour-long conversation about the free part. So my thinking on this is that I don't want it to be thought of as waste, and I don't want it to be thought of as free, because it is not free. I chose to become a nonprofit in this country to incentivize a tax donation for U.S. yacht owners to donate their sales. And it works okay. I have also found that there are enough for a good program. They'll do a sale drive for me or something, or they'll do a collection for me. That's a nomenclature thing for me that I get funny about calling them waste or about calling them free. So inside baseball for us here, and you and I've talked about this before, I want there to be a round table. And I've said this to the manufacturers. I've said this to the folks at Dimension Polyant. I'm like, let's put everybody in a room. Let's put those of us who want to see change happen in a room, and let's start to work together. And if it means that we have a very broad goal or a very niche goal and it takes a very long time, I don't care, but we need to be standing together. I sent you not long ago the World Sailing Association, their very first sustainability report. I couldn't wait to read it. I couldn't wait to see what the plan was for sales. There isn't one. There isn't even a conversation about sales. So we need to be at the table. So let's go make the change happen and just put us at the table. I'm just like, give us responsibility for the second use or third or fourth, whatever it is, but give it to us.
I'm really intrigued because I was almost slightly taken aback by your response there, talking between friends about the whole waste and the free thing. Because obviously as it exists today, with initial approach to this issue opportunity is the creation of furnishing bags, now fashion garments, the lot, right? And it's sailors wanting to feel better and having the opportunity to do something better than taking the old sail to the dump. So it's a moral and ethical win in some ways for the individual to donate a sail, and for organizations who can then make the most of it. It is a free resource, right? Currently, it's something that they do not have to pay for. If you're in any other industry, like making this, again, glass that I'm holding, you've got to pay for it. Like, you've got to buy your raw materials to create something. But I appreciate that that too goes in the whole, almost like the paradigm shift and the mentality change, which you're getting at. And that's the something will always need to become something else. Even if we don't want it to be, it does. It becomes waste when we stick it in a landfill. It's something that is no longer deemed to be useful to an individual society. So it stays in this hole on the ground, right? But obviously what you're trying to do is change it from waste to, again, just a material. So it stays, it's going to be useful for something else.
Transformation. It is the nomenclature. It is how we think of it. It is just how we think of it. So there are advantages to calling it free and there are disadvantages to calling it free. And I don't think that's fair. And the things that we build and construct, anybody would want to. I mean, we build and construct beautiful things that make people feel good. We construct things that make people I don't want you to be in safe. And it's a wonderful experience because standing under a super yacht sail, even when it's not dragging a ship across the ocean, is pretty cool. They're very cool things. So
I think it's perfect because like anything, I think we've become so detached from the value of so much that even as you said, there's a lot of technology that goes into it, but still, it's there is any one sale, as an example, is a result of millions of hours, thousands of years of history, many different hands, brains, teams, countries, cultures, refining something or various somethings in terms of different materials into...
Globally.
Yeah, into an ultimate product, which is deemed to be useful and that we buy so much of, and then ultimately is currently left without some formal utility once it's deemed to be not useful on a boat. You're right, nothing is free. It may come to you without you having to transactionally purchase it in the bluntest
way.
It's valuable.
I call it for the second use economy success metrics, that we need a different set of success metrics for what we're doing. Because if my material is free, my cost of deconstruction goes into my cost of manufacturing, which is an extra step, which becomes your cost of goods. That transportation and that cost of deconstruction, trust me, I can tell you that not every some sales require heavy equipment to move. So I have moved sales that have never been, have been on a crane and on a boat, and now they're sitting on a yard. You know what I mean? Like, we have deconstructed massive, massive things.
Like you said, all the hardware within them as well. That in itself is what you're saying, actually taking them apart, stripping out the bits and pieces, finding another use for even those if you can do recycling that. Yeah, it's an expensive, it's expensive time and energy as well as cost. I very much appreciate that. I stand somewhat corrected.
Well, it's because there's a cost to taking it to the landfill, and that's been the system. The system is they come off the boat, they go onto a trailer, and it goes straight to landfill. And now I stand in the middle of that. And I want us to think about it. I want us to change the way we think about them as it's a sale now. It's like somebody said it should be called Second Wind. You know, we should have a Second Wind brand because, but you know, like, let's go have these conversations. I just want to go be having this conversation with as many people who will have it. Tell me why we can't do it. And I'm happy to have the conversation about why it can't happen.
I want to capture what you've just said, which is it's a sale now. It's almost like a roll of fabric next with limitless possibilities.
That's it.
Sale is not the finite. Like you said, it's the way you approached it is the textile. Very powerful. What's your main ask of the marine industry going forward?
Somebody have the leadership and the courage to come run a program with me. Somebody step into this. I won't be the hero. They will be. We will make someone look like a star if they will come and say, we're going to be the first ones to commit to this. Somebody's doing it for billboards. So they take down billboards and they turn them into bags. Have you seen this company? But I talked to the CEO and you know what he said to me? Broke my heart. He said, he lives here in Santa Barbara. So we were connected. And he said, if I could do this all over again, I wouldn't. He said, it's been really, really hard. The system isn't made for us to reuse. The system is made for take, make, throw away. So everything that we're trying to put in place is so hard because the system is not there for us to go collect the stuff that we've made and then reproduce it. It has to be, we have to put money and we have to put attention into this step. We cannot go straight from linear to circular without paying attention to the shift we made. That's all I'm here to focus on. And I'm only talking about sales. Somebody else can talk about all the other stuff and rigging if rigging is in the sale, but it's a lot, but it's so valuable. I mean, we're talking about shredding it and making surfboards, and we're making fences and wind fences, and every other creative, awesome human who puts their hands on it goes, what's all the black stuff inside? And you're like, oh, that's carbon fiber. So then it's just a whole new, the world opens up and people go crazy. I don't want the sales to ever be in jeopardy. I don't know if the industry feels like we have this big bad secret that we have this incredible material that's so valuable and we don't want anybody to know. But I don't know that they're thinking like that. I just think that if you don't get on a boat, you've never seen it. And most people have never been on a boat. And of the people that have ever been on a boat, very few have been on a boat that's ever seen that material. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, they haven't seen it. So it doesn't have to be thrown away, is all I'm saying. So I want somebody that has the courage or the interest or get in this with me. And somebody start a program. You know who I want? I'm with the 52 Super Series. I mean, I want somebody with a voice. I want North to do the J70 subscription with one team. Let's test it with one. Let's pilot it. Let's see if it works. Let's see if we can make the money. Somebody might make more money. It's like the documentary storytelling. When you open up a garage and look in it, and all you see is a 20 by 20 foot storage unit just piled to the ceiling. And we have homeless people. It just doesn't make any sense.
I think also on the point of value, and you're talking about super yacht sales in particular, we're talking $100,000 worth of mainsail at a time. I mean, these things cost Virgin sales an inordinate amount of money, not least because of the size and the technology that goes into them. So it is almost it's a real pity and a real shame if we aren't able to reasonably, globally provide another opportunity for us to use this stuff. Because like we said, just because it's thrown away doesn't mean it's waste. And it also maintains enough integrity to be valuable to lots of different industries and lots of different constructions and lots of different things. So it really is, sounds like really is about just connecting the dots. I say just. Rationally, it appears simple. I appreciate the reality is somewhat more treacherous, but not impossible.
No, because I feel like also we don't have to be everything to everyone. I can have a very niche customer. I can have World Central Kitchen or any other rescue. And we only have what we have. I don't need to provide tents to everybody. What I need to do is use up what they have. You see, it's reverse engineering. I now have a material, and when it's gone, I can't sell anymore. But until it's gone, I have a problem. The chicken can only lay so many eggs, right? Like, this is what I have. Because I can't tell you that I can give you 100 more super yacht sales every single year, we're going to let these all just get thrown away. Stop.
It's a fantastic opportunity. As always, I'm feeling very inspired. Somewhat. Sad's not the right word, but somewhat.
Nearly the sadness to me. It's been sad for
me. The problem shared, Angela. The problem part. We're in this together. I want to know, and just to close, is where would you like to be in, say, 5 years? I know it's a very arbitrary timeline, but just give me a clue. Where do you want to see the industry sail to shelter in a few years' time?
I want sail to shelter to become, in 5 years, to be endemic to sailing, that nobody has to store another sail in their garage, that we have enough of the system in place. And it might be, Holly, that it's a service, and maybe it becomes a tax on the sail, that if your lot is going to be a sail to shelter lot, you're going to pay a tax on your, not much, just enough for a 20-foot container in the front of somebody's whatever. They fill it up. When it's full, we come and get it. There'll be one in California. Let's say there's San Diego, LA, maybe not in San Francisco. I don't get enough sales, but you know what I mean? Like, there's Hub, Newport. And then we do the consolidation thing. And wherever it is in the world where these major cities are, in 5 years, they just all end up in these transformation centers, which I think can also be fantastically creative places. At the end of the day, it's going to be the Christopher Rayburn. You know, he has those amazing, like the lab. That's all I want.
Just a closing sort of thought is that obviously in Europe, there's quite a lot of work being done legally and also setting up sort of frameworks around end-of-life materials, notably around, say, end-of-life boats, the actual GRP and FRP. And France in particular have relatively recently launched new legislation, which ultimately puts a tax on the person who buys a boat first, so new boats. And that tax goes towards recovery of the boat and dealing with the boat at end-of-life. And we've seen, obviously, a lot of different legislatures playing around with the concept of if you produce a product, you ought to be responsible for what happens to it end of life. And as you and I know, Coca-Cola isn't yet set up to itself recycle or recollect all of its glass and all of its cans to then sort them, process them and turn them into another product. But it's still a grey area. It's still an area which is being worked on from a legal perspective, because is it the producer's responsibility to look after something at end of life? Is it the person who buys it, the taxpayer, effectively, on what happens to end of life? It's muddy, but it's fascinating. I mean, it's really fascinating. Everything up for grabs.
But why don't we now insert the third option? Because we can be the place, right? Then everybody has an option. Right now, there is no option. So it's a really painful point. Either way, it gets thrown away. You see, either one of those burdens goes to a party to throw it away. We insert an option for something different.
That's really well put. And that in itself is the transformation of the industry and the transformation of the paradigm and the way of thinking that you've described so aptly through this conversation. Angela, it's a real pleasure to talk with you as always. I know this will be the first of several, but if you had one request to anyone listening to this podcast, marine industry or otherwise, what would it be?
Just leadership. I just would like leadership and courage to try some really fun, interesting things. We have to do it. It has to be done. And there has to be someone in this industry. And I know it's summer and everybody's really busy and sailing and having a great time. This isn't the time. But when it's over, call me and let's see what we can do to move the needle. And look, at the end of the day, Holly, I don't want there to need to be a sale, right? Maybe sales get so much stronger, and they are getting so much stronger all the time, and repairing them is getting so much, right? We won't have to do this forever. But for as long as we do, let's be responsible and let's go be innovative. Let's go be creative. And here's what I know. If your passion is to make sales, go do it. The reason it's not getting done, Holly, is because nobody wants to do that work. Well, I do. Nobody wants to go deconstruct a sale and turn it into something else because it's hard. I let the people who want to do it, do it.
Very well put, Angela. Angela Abishir, founder of Sail to Shelter and hailing from California with some wonderful work already being done. I'm so excited to see what you come up with next. And we'll absolutely stay in touch and help each other on this journey.
I can't wait. You're a big part of it. Thank you. I love your work too.
You've been listening to the Clean Sailors podcast. All relevant links to the projects and people we talk to can be found with the podcast link. For all episodes or to get in touch, just visit cleansailors.com. We love to hear from you. We believe that great ideas should be shared, which is why our podcast is free to appear on. So if you've got a project, idea, or topic you think we should be discussing, get in touch. In the meantime, thank you for listening and see you for the next episode.